coming to you live from the bridge of the Starship Enterprise tonight. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on location. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Our special guest tonight, in case you just tuned in, is Pat Packard of the Mutual UFO Network, enlightening us to all the unidentified flying objects.
You guys are losing your pizzazz there on your Chris and Rob. You know, you start out strong.
We're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We got Zeke the Freak from Cabin
Creek. Pick it up.
What's going on, Zeke?
Hey, man, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can, man.
I'm out here in the woods, man. I want to tell you what. Would it give any credibility to your guest speaker if I, Zeke, said that I saw a flying saucer? Well, not actually me, but my mom saw it first, and then I saw it, and then a cop saw it.
Okay,
when I
was a kid. So you and your mom are passing the moonshine back and forth. And
are you on it right now, Zeke?
She was on her Avon route. See, this is when I was but a wee lad. Now look, it was in a magazine too, man. It was in that men's magazine, I guess, because flying saucers were all sausage shaped back then. But it was in True Magazine, believe it or not, 1967, and a cop saw it too.
Wow.
So and that's why they put it in the damn magazine, because he saw it.
Not because of your mom?
Hey, man, not because of the Avon lady mom.
They just figured your mom sniffed too much wild country aftershave.
I got kind of, dusted out of some of this historic, you know, stuff here.
So
but
Zeke,
you know what? There's already a movie made. You asked, Chris, you asked him if, you know, there was a reason why they're trying to contact us. But there's a movie out, man, and it already said the whole thing. It's called Bad Taste, and it's out of Australia.
What's the movie about? I've never seen it.
Well, what it is it's a corporate sin galaxy of these aliens, and they come down to Earth because what it is on their planet, man, human flesh is a new fast food taste sensation. You know, and they're like the McDonald's of...
That's an old Twilight Zone. That's
dude,
you're way out of...
people, man.
Kind of like Filet-O-Frank.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Old story, Zeke.
Hey, man. You know, I believe you, though. Hey.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to believe me.
This guy's been doing UFOs for years. He's heard it all.
Well, I know the guys that are in this town here, man. They do stuff down at Cable Access.
Oh, yeah?
I sat in on some of those meetings, man. I mean, some of the people look kind of weird, freaky, you know, pen holders and stuff like that. But that's what gives it credibility.
The big Coke bottle glasses?
I don't have a pen holder.
But you know what? He said something about abductions around here. Well, that's true because I saw on Sally Jesse Raphael, that girl from outside of Cincinnati here. And they keep coming back for it, too, and the rabbits all croak in the field when the spaceship comes down. What's the thing about the rabbits? That's what I never could figure out about Bugs Bunny and space flying. They do. They have cartoons of Bugs Bunny getting taken up by aliens. So what's the scoop with rabbits? Does your guest know that?
Send us some of what you got, Zeke, would you? You know, Bugs Bunny and the aliens.
Yeah, you never saw that cartoon? It's a Warner Brother cartoon.
Yeah, the Earth.
Yeah, I've seen the cartoon, but, you know, we're trying to talk about reality, you know.
Well, I mean, what about the poor rabbits? They got feelings, too. I mean, are they really getting snuff like that?
Do you know what they're talking about with spaceships coming down killing rabbits? Is that true?
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
Rabbits have been found mutilated in New Jersey and other places, yeah.
So you got to be like Zeke and just kind of go in and out of
reality. Wasn't Bugs Bunny, though. I mean, you know, when any kids crying out there or up to Saturday.
Because of the sightings and a lot of the other reports from back to the 40s and 30s and that, they actually made a cartoon that Warner Brothers did with Bugs Bunny getting taken up by a flying saucer.
Hey, Zeke, look up.
Wait a minute!
Let me just say one thing about
Zeke
talking about the Wayback Machine when they made that cartoon. You might throw in a couple of facts about Battelle Memorial Institute out of Columbus. They did a study, statistical study, in 1952, and what that basically said was it was highly improbable, if not impossible, for all the sightings that were made to be anything other than genuine, based on statistics alone. I'm not a statistician, but you might put that in your pipe and smoke it, Zeke.
749-1444. I think Zeke will put about anything in his pipe.
He must.
Hey, is this whole UFO deal, is this totally a Yankee kind of thing? Is this just us Americans?
Russians have
Do what now? Russians have
UFOs.
Well, let me
too.
Just put it this way.
You mentioned the French a little while ago.
A lot of people think
they built
it's,
the Egyptian pyramids too.
Right. A lot of people think it's caused by a cultural hysteria, but the truth of the matter is that the Chinese, who certainly didn't have any access to our culture until the mid '70s, have all kinds of waves of UFO sightings. They happen in the Middle East. They happen in Mexico. You name it. It's happening there, sooner or later.
What about those big paintings on the desert floor that you can only see them from space or something? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about the Nazca Lines.
Yeah, them. What's up with them?
Has no bearing on... you're talking about a fellow by the name of Eric von Däniken, again, who said they were landing signals to outer spacecraft or something. Total fabrication. What they are, they don't really know, but probably something to do with astronomy or something along that line. There's a lady that's worked on those her whole life, 40 or 50 years. Her name escapes me at the moment. But she hasn't found the correct solution, and I'm relatively certain it wasn't landing gear or whatever for aliens.
749-1444 is the phone number. And Pat, do you think there's a lot of people who have seen UFOs or have even been abducted, but they're afraid to come forward and say, hey, I saw one?
I saw an estimate the other day that said that roughly 1 out of 10 people, 10% will report what they see because they're afraid of ridicule. And I can say without any reservation, everyone I talk to, there's a single person, not 1 out of 20, that wants to go public or even let their name be known about UFOs because of the ridicule.
Well, who do you report it to? The cops?
Well,
the cops have the right to ridicule anybody with their track record.
You report it to the Mutual UFO Network. That's my phone number, basically.
What's that phone number? Do you want to say it over the air?
Yeah, it's 829-4324.
Jot that down. He'll say it again in a few minutes.
Zeke,
you don't need
to call Zeke.
If you call the talk show, you're completely anonymous. So if you think you've seen something, but you don't want to say anything because you're afraid of ridicule from your friends, call the talk show anonymously. The only ridicule you're going to get is from me and Rob.
So you can call the cops, they can call you, and report it.
Call our talk show.
What do you guys do if someone calls you up and it's not someone floating around on cloud nine? It seems to be a down to earth, head on the shoulders kind of guy. He calls you up and says, "Hey Pat, someone took Grandma last night, and I swear to God, we don't know where she's at." What's your next step then? What do you guys do then?
I'd tell him to call the police if she's missing overnight. But no, if it's someone that's worried about an abduction and that happens. They don't know where to go. They call us. We come out and talk to them, try and assure them that they're not crazy. Go through their story with them, see what's happened to them. Like I say, we recommend treatment. I have a psychiatrist. Not treatment for mental illness. By the way, most abductees have taken extensive mental tests, and only 1 or 2% are found to have any incidences of mental illness. As a matter of fact, the only thing that abductees have in common is the fact that they have what's called a delayed stress syndrome reaction and a reaction that's similar to being raped that women have. That's the only syndrome that's common in all of them, and I think it makes sense if you think about it.
Zontar, go ahead. You're on with Chris and Rob and Pat. Hey, Zontar.
Hey, Jim, screen that a little better.
Talk to Zontar.
Yo, Zontar.
Dude.
You there?
Phaser blasting.
Yeah, he blasted off for someplace.
The phone
we
number
can
here is
call,
749-1444 is the phone number. 749-1444.
Let's fire up our abductee. We're going to call someone now. Or maybe not.
Yeah, Jim's got a call.
Oh, well, we got a call. That's great.
Hang on a second. It's Scott.
Oh, okay. Did we just talk to Scott?
A different Scott.
Okay, this is a different Scott. How you doing, Scott?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, it's going... Oh, this is the world-famous Scott. What's up?
Well, not much. Just listening to you guys.
And what do you think about all this?
About the UFO stuff?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty interesting.
Do you believe it?
Me, personally, I believe in UFOs, yes.
One thing, it shouldn't be a matter of belief for anyone. You can go find the studies. I can quote you studies.
And you have.
You can call me and I'll give you the names of studies or whatever that you can go find and look them up, read them. One thing I feel compelled to say is a fellow that wrote, Philip Klass, wrote a book about abductions, a dangerous game, I think was the title. Interesting enough, he didn't even interview one abductee. He didn't talk to anyone that, no doctors, no ufologists, no psychiatrists. Well, it sold well, and people tend to take any explanation. He did all it from an armchair, I guess with his thinking cap on. So So he's a lot smarter than the rest of us. All I can say is if they catch me for murder tomorrow, I don't want him to be the investigator.
All right, Scott, you've called before, and you always like to talk about movies. Have you seen the Travis Walton movie?
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
I mean, in terms of the story, I don't know if it's true or not, but the movie wasn't very good.
Well, the core of the story is true, but when you get into some of the abduction parts of the story and some town hall scenes that were made up that really didn't happen and other things.
Yeah.
You know, but the core of it's basically true. They passed lie detector tests. They were very upset. The sheriff and other people that are credible have come to believe them because of their, no one's come forward in 17 years to say it's a hoax. None of these guys, as a lot of people have been led to believe, they really didn't know each other. Some of them had been on this crew for a week or 2 weeks. When it was all over with, they scattered to the four corners of the earth. And they're all sticking to their story. They're all insisting on taking lie detector tests. So I think that adds some credibility to it, too, not only the fact that they passed. But some you have to decide for yourself. Nothing's 100% unless you got your hands on the evidence. So.
Is that it, Scott, or any other burning questions?
Well, I wanted to ask, have you ever read Project Blue Book?
Yes, I've read Project Blue Book. The thing about Project Blue Book, and I'd say this, there's not much in Project Blue Book that was investigated very well. And if you want to go case by case, you'd suddenly find out that hardly any of them were investigated, period. And the few that they did investigate well were highly visible cases and ones that generally they condoned as genuine unidentified flying objects. But their rate of incidents, I guess you'd say, was about 10%. In other words, 10% of the claims that they got in they felt were genuine. That really doesn't hold up if you look at what the French do and GPAN does in France. They have about a 38% unknown, and they have the scientific equipment and the scientists at their disposal. Blue Book, like I said before, had a sergeant, a secretary, and a part-time scientist who was hired because he was a skeptic, more than likely.
You ever seen a UFO, Scott?
Excuse me?
You ever seen a UFO?
No.
You know who I saw the other day?
What?
Miss April. I know you're a big Playboy fan. I saw the Miss April centerfold.
Where'd you see her at?
She's at a video store. She was asking about you, Scott.
Is that considered a UFO?
No, it's considered a heavenly body. Just thought I'd let you know. Eat your heart out, buddy.
All right, Rob.
All right. Mm-hmm. Hey, take it easy, man.
Wait, Rob.
Okay,
let me
go ahead.
Ask you one thing.
Go ahead.
You ever seen Falling Down yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thanks a lot.
I was just wondering.
Okay, man, if you ever want to bring us any more beer, feel free to.
Oh, well, you guys can squeeze me for all the beer you want.
Ah, we love squeezing you.
I'm your love slave.
Thanks, man.
All right.
The phone number here is 749-1444. Get your calls in. So tell me, Pat, do these UFO alien-type people ever look like zombies?
No. No, not like zombies. Basically, you know about what we know about the aliens is not very much. What abductees tell us about them is that they don't seem to have any eating utensils. They don't seem to have any bone structure in their body. They don't even seem to breathe. They have long, thin arms. You've probably seen the classic pictures. Large, egg-shaped heads. Large eyes, and the eyes are the most, salient feature that they have. Piercing eyes.
Are the spaceships really small? Because if the aliens are always 3.5 feet tall to 4.5 feet tall, wouldn't the human beings like be hitting their heads on the ceiling all the time when they're up there walking around?
Well, basically, the spaceships are not that. What's happened is there's been kind of a change in the type of ship that we see or get reports about nowadays. Used to be it was a saucer-shaped type of thing. Now it's a triangular, humongous platform. That was seen in Belgium and, in fact, tracked by the
Are you saying that all these UFO sightings from people who've never met each other usually match up?
No, not at all. I'm not saying that whatsoever. I'm saying that there is a consistency in the last 10 years of some of the reports. Hudson Valley, where there was the same type of craft. It was a triangular craft, very large. It was over Hudson Valley for a number of years, seen by thousands of people. Was then spotted in Belgium, was chased by jets in Belgium, did fantastic things in Belgium, was on four different radars. As a matter of fact, the head of the Belgian Armed Forces went on television with the radar tapes and said, here they are, this is what this thing did, no human being could survive this kind of G-force, and went from 5,000 feet to 10,000 feet in a couple of seconds. We don't know what it is, and everyone in the country is seeing it.
Good enough for the Belgians, good enough for me. Go ahead, Zontar, you're on with Chris and Robin Pat.
Hello.
Hi, Zontar, what's happening?
I have a question.
I have a question. Does anyone have a normal name out there?
Hey, it's anonymous. Remember, Chris said be anonymous.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Which country has the absolute most UFO sightings?
The absolute most?
Yes.
Well, that varies from time to time. I would say probably Belgium in the last couple of years has had the most UFO sightings. They had several thousand in 1 year, so that's quite a few.
Was this all one incident? Was this a 7,000?
No, no. This was a variety of instances. Went over a couple of years, 2 or 3 years of sighting the same type of craft.
Is there any particular reason why aliens would like to hang out in Belgium?
Why they'd hang out in Belgium? I guess they like the food. I don't have any better answer to it than you do. You know, why they're there, I can't really say. I guess they have abduction business to contend with there. I really don't know. There's a guy in England and some other people have done some studies about the incidence of UFOs and where they're likely to turn up next. I have never seen the study. They've got a computer program that I guess predicts relatively accurately where they will turn up. There are certain areas of the world that are what's known as hot spots. And, you know, there's several in the United States.
Comedians always make fun of the people who see UFOs as being hicks. Like, they always land out in a field somewhere with a bunch of drunken farmers see them. They never come in cities. Why is that? Is that generally true, or is that just a comedian thing?
In terms of landing in the country, most UFO sightings are in the countryside.
Why is that? Seems like they'd be attracted to the light.
Seems to me there's more places to land out there.
Probably. No parking in the city, you know. No, I don't know, other than the fact that they're trying to conduct a clandestine operation, and maybe that's the place to go. It's really, there's no good answer for that. I just don't have one.
Anything else, Zontar?
Yeah, I have another question. Why don't you have commercial breaks?
We're a non-profit, loosely organized community radio station here. We're working on the funds provided by our listeners. Listeners such as yourself. In fact, we can fix you up with all kinds of t-shirts and stickers if you want to donate a little money to help run this fine station, because we don't operate on Pepsi Cola's money or McDonald's money.
He hung up when you said money.
How would you like to donate a little?
I can't right now.
Why not?
Because.
Wimp.
Night.
What's the matter? You ain't got a job or something?
Well, kind of.
Cheapskate? You cheapskate? Tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold. I'll put you on with our operator, Jim. Jim will tape down your name and address. We'll send you a bill, okay?
Oh, fair enough.
All right, thanks.
Love your pinball machines, Zontar.
749-1444 is the phone number here. Here's a little zombie music for you.
Over there, you see the zombies walking in silence. Silence.
We're back. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
I'm Rob.
I'm Chris.
And we're backwards.
Phone number here is 749-1444. Our special guest tonight is Pat Packard of the Mutual UFO Network.
And seems like I remember back in the 70s when I was a younger tyke that this thing was really big and there was sightings of UFOs every week.
Oh, when I was a kid, you couldn't turn on AM radio at night without them talking about some kind of alien or UFO abduction or something.
And I remember that in Texas, they thought that UFOs were attracted to lights, so they set all these lights up out in the field, lit it up like Riverfront Stadium, hoping to attract aliens. And I don't think anything happened.
Remember Leonard Nimoy used to do that TV show about it?
In Search of.
Yeah, and they were always talking to Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster.
The Divining Rod.
Or someone that saw a UFO or something. Fantastic show.
What, is she going to do it?
No.
Cut?
No go.
No. Yeah. Okay.
Well, anyway, in a couple of seconds here, the lines are going to be open. We'll be taking your calls and...
And chatting about UFOs.
Now, what's up? Let's get off the subject here for a minute. What's up with Hal Morris?
That's okay.
Did the guy just totally make an ass of himself the other day?
Spring training game, he charges the mound.
What did he do that for?
I have no idea. Maybe some kind of Vulcan mind control from outer space.
This is spring training. What's he doing getting in a fight over a dumb spring training game? Why didn't he save all that energy for opening day?
I don't know. Now he's out for 6 weeks.
Give me a break already.
He
what an idiot.
He didn't even get hit by the pitch.
How much are they paying him?
A couple million to get body slammed.
Not enough to get body slammed in spring training. The Florida fans aren't worth it.
No.
Just
no.
The Cincinnati fans no. Are.
He's...
Okay, thanks.
That's okay. Okay. 749-14.
Some people are just a little afraid to talk about...
Explain what happened.
749-1444.
Well, I'll explain what happened, right?
We almost had...
Let me tell you a little bit. This is a really traumatic thing for people. These people have not been through something that... they like to talk about, first of all, and second of all, it's like talking to someone, like I said earlier, that has been raped or something. They've been violated, and they feel like they've been violated. They get very nervous talking about it. Of course, they don't think anyone believes them and what have you. And honestly, we're kind of making a little light of it now and then, which doesn't bother me, but you know, the Star Trek thing and other things. And that probably bothers
them. But it's all good, clean fun, don't you think?
Well, it's good, clean fun to you and me, but to someone that's gone through an experience like this, it's a very, very serious matter. And it's something that is just like if you had a rape victim on the telephone, you wouldn't want to play screams, you know, and things like that. I mean, it's just, and in a way, it's in bad taste. Of course, if you don't know anything about the phenomena and people don't, or you just don't want to believe it,
so you're saying
that's
Chris
fine.
Is innocent because he's ignorant.
Ignorance is bliss.
You're the first guest we ever had that told me off and got away with it. You know that?
Well, I didn't tell you off.
Well, hey, see if you're ever on this talk show again. See if you're ever on any of these talk shows here in this town.
Oh,
I'm going to run
you
right out of town.
Blacklisted now, right?
Yeah, at least in this town you are.
For God's sake.
Until WLW picks you up.
Well,
by the way,
you know,
have you ever been on any other
time.
Shows before? Like, are these other talk shows been big into UFOs lately?
They've been big into UFOs. I haven't been on them. They usually go for Lynn Stringfield and people like that. Generally,
he doesn't like to stay up at night, though.
Well, Lynn goes to bed rather early, yeah.
How are you going to see any UFOs if you're going to bed at 8 o'clock at night?
Well, Lynn Stringfield has been around a long time. First of all, Lynn Stringfield was there in World War II, by the way. There were what was known as Foo Fighters. And what those were balls of light and basic ships that...
I thought with gays in the military that these Foo Fighters were going to be back in title again.
Could be, I don't know. But the bottom line is these Foo Fighters followed not only our airplanes, but the German airplanes and the Japanese airplanes. Everyone thinking that it was a secret weapon of the Germans. The Germans thinking it was our secret weapon. The Japanese thinking it was ours.
It was really the Italians.
Well, could have been. Who knows what the Italians will do. But that's what got him involved in all this.
He was a jet fighter. He was a fighter pilot.
No, he was in the Secret Service, the OSS or something. I don't know what exactly branch, but he was in intelligence work. And they flew into Japan. They were some of the first 80 or 90 people to come into Japan. And these things followed their planes into Okinawa on the trip into Japan.
Wow.
So... that's what got him started on it, and he's been around, he's been with some of the big names and on all the big committees, and he knows everyone in the field. He's someone I have a lot of respect for, along with Jerry Black, I might add, and he's just one of a kind.
All right, Lynn, we got Randy. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, I wanted to know if you had any more information on the 1947 New Mexico crash.
The Roswell incident.
Do I personally have...
Be specific. What do you want to know? Because...
Well, I just wanted to know, maybe in the last few years, if you heard anything, if anybody's come forward, anybody in the military, or...
Yeah, there's been quite a few people come forward since the last book.
Well, fill the people who've never heard of this in on what really happened back then.
Well, we covered a little earlier, but I'll go back through it again. Basically, in 1947, there was a crash of a ship in Roswell, New Mexico. It was blasted all over the papers across the United States as being an alien ship. Pieces of it were recovered along with bodies. Of course, the Army jumped right in to say it wasn't, and it was actually a weather balloon, which was ludicrous.
No, it was swamp gas.
You know, the people that actually went out to recover it were people that had been through World War II, and they were material analysts. In other words, they knew everything that was in the air, what it was made of. They examined crashes for a living, basically. And when they got there, it was something they'd never seen before. And one of the people that arrived on the scene at first was a fellow by the name of Jesse Marcel, and he's the one that more or less broke the story. Came forward, and as a matter of fact, he talked to Lynn Stringfield and other people anonymously, and eventually talked to Stanton Friedman, and sort of blew the whistle on the whole thing.
So the gist of the story is, something crashed, the Air Force said it's a UFO, then the next day the Air Force said, no, it's not a UFO. Now some people believe that the debris from that accident is found in Wright-Patterson, right up I-75 in Dayton.
Well, it's been moved, but originally it was taken there, we think, yes. There's testimony to that, yeah. If to answer your question, though, about if there's anything new, there's quite a bit new. But the authors of the book that you read last time, Schmidt and Moore, who are very, very good investigators, been back on the case along with Stanton Friedman and a guy named Berliner. They've turned up quite a few new people. There are some very important people. Now, I'm not sure what the status is of it, but some of them were generals and others. I don't know what's going to happen, whether they're going to speak in the new book or through the new book or what's going to happen there. But the new book should be out in the next, I was told, this spring sometime. And it's going to be a bombshell, according to what they're telling me. I'll have to wait and see. Could all be hype. Who knows? But quite a few more people have come forward, yes.
Okay.
Anything else, Randy?
No, that about answers it all. Just keep those rabbit people off of them.
Yeah, those rabbit
people. What's wrong with those rabbit people?
That guy worries me.
All right, thanks a lot, Randy.
All right, thank you.
749-1444 is the phone number. Maybe that's why UFOs are always out in the country, because that's where the rabbits are.
And cows and stuff.
If you go in the city, all you get to kill is a bunch of rats, and that's no fun.
No, not at all.
The rabbits are a lot more fun. We got going on? We got another caller?
I think he's ordering Clark. Pizza.
It's Tark?
Clark.
We got Clark. Go ahead, Clark. You're on with Chris and Rob.
Any possibilities the rumors about a live alien are true, in your opinion?
Well, there's a possibility. As a matter of fact, Lynn Stringfield's in touch with people that not only say one's alive, but have talked to it, more or less.
How in the world are you going to talk to an alien that doesn't understand English?
It was through telepathy, which is...
Their
means of communication is telepathy. There has been, and he's got some information on that. Now, there's a lot of disinformation, and I'm sure that... Clark knows that, and you just can't be 100% sure that they have a live alien.
Well, I saw an actual alien, shaking hands with Ross Perot in a newspaper.
Yeah, National Enquirer, no doubt.
First he visited Perot, then Clinton, and then Bush.
Well, let me just say one more thing about the question he asked. There are some other people that have come forward, more or less, telling a story about the dissection of an alien, and there was an intermediary between Lynn Stringfield and them, and now evidently that person's dropped out, And that's about all I can say about it. So we're going to get some firsthand testimony from a well-known scientist. And that's all I can say at this point, because all I know, really. Anything else, Clark? Hope that answered it. It was kind of vague, I know.
If you were going to find somebody that had telepathic powers, how would you recruit somebody like that on short notice if you were an Air Force officer who had that kind of problem?
No, it wasn't a question of the officer having telepathic powers.
Well, can't they just, don't they have a hotline to Kreskin or something?
Not really, no. What it boiled down to is they had some sort of a psychological warfare, guys. I really can't give you the exact details. But in any case, he went in and the alien more or less communicated with him. I don't think any of us have the ability to be telepathic, but evidently they do. And for some reason, they can make us understand what they're thinking, according to abductees and other people. I think that was the situation. It wasn't a case of going out and finding someone with telepathic powers to interview an alien.
Is that it, Clark?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, thanks,
thanks
a lot.
Clark.
Hey, what's have you heard of Hangar 19, and what's all that about?
Hangar 19 is a fictitious hangar at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base where they took the bodies, supposedly, and the debris. There might have been a Hangar 19 at one time, but it's long since gone. It's just a myth, essentially, that's built up over the years.
Isn't there supposedly a place out west where the only place in the United States where four states meet? Isn't right there on that border between the four states? Isn't there a big UFO storage place there?
Well, it's area.
Is that another myth kind of thing?
I thought that was a tourist attraction.
No, this that's
stand in four states at once, pay $5.
Something called Area 51, Dreamland, whatever you want to call it, Groom Lake. It's the most secret facility in the United States. There have been people that have worked there that have come out of Groom Lake and testified to the fact. A guy named Robert Lazar, who was a physicist, worked at Groom Lake. He says that they have the devices out there, several craft. As a matter of fact, a fellow named George Knapp, who worked as an investigative reporter for K, whatever it is, KVA or Las Vegas Television, whatever the call letters are, went around and interviewed some people that this fellow knew, and they confirmed the story. But what happened in the interim, after he left, evidently they got visited by the government and immediately clammed up and didn't want to talk about it anymore. I guess they were threatened one way or another. So now the man sort of stands on his own. There are a few others that have come forward without revealing their names and what have you.
Well, it seems like that UFO research is pretty much an untapped field. Why aren't more scientists getting into this field? It seems like that'd be a good way to make a name for yourself, plus it'd be a good place to start off doing research.
Well, more scientists are getting into it, as a matter of fact, but not in the kind of numbers we'd like. One of the reasons is there's a tremendous amount of pressure to get a grant and to be published and to maintain a reputation so that you can do those two things. Another reason is the government has is a big part of grants that go out to universities. Therefore, they don't grant them if you talk about UFOs, and there are instances of that happening.
So why is the government still so anti-UFO? Are you some kind of Oliver Stone, everything's a conspiracy kind of guy?
Well, I'm not so sure. Let me just put it this way. I talked about the Robertson panel earlier. One of the recommendations they made was that the CIA infiltrate NICAP and other organizations. As a matter of fact, the last two or three officers of NICAP were former CIA people. One of them was a psychological war type of a CIA man. Why? I don't know. It's because they were afraid of some sort of subversion, like the McCarthy hearings in the 50s or something. But I think if you accept the fact that this is real and that there are UFOs, they simply can't explain them. And what general or elected official is going to go on TV and tell you, hey, listen, they're abducting your children, they're abducting your wives, they're evading your privacy, they're killing your animals, and we can't do anything about it. So have a nice day. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Have you ever heard the theory that maybe UFOs aren't necessarily from outer space or anything, but they're maybe time machines from the future coming back to check things out and see what things were like back in the old days?
Well, theories are a dime a dozen. There's an interdimensional theory that's popular in Europe that says that they are basically multi-dimensional creatures and able somehow to bleed into our time and so forth and so on. All that's real speculative. We really don't have any idea what they are. We can't say 100% for sure. We know there's a phenomenon out there. What it is, we're not sure. I can't tell you 100% for sure that every abductee or any abductee story is 100% true, that it's not some new type of psychological mysterious disease that's going around or some type of hysterical contagion. But I can tell you there is no known psychological explanation that envelops all the things that happen to these people. They can't explain multiple abductions. They can't explain scoop marks. They can't explain...
What are scoop marks?
Well, I was talking about abduction earlier, and what they do
is... Oh, on the flesh?
Well, yeah, they'll
scoop out a chunk of thigh?
Something along that line. There'll be a scar. Most abductees will have a scar on their lower calf. An unexplained scar, when they don't know how they ever got.
Cosmic liposuction.
We think that they're taking tissue samples of some type. It's again very speculative what they're doing with it.
749-1444 is the phone number. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Don't be outside looking in. You might not get the chance again. You'll feel fine as soon as you're strapped in. It's really in. A 23 skidoo. You're on the one and only homemade time machine.
Flashing lights excite the sensation.
Back with the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. You just heard from H.P. Lovecraft, not the writer, but the psychedelic band from the 60s.
We've got Pat Packard, State Section Director of the Mutual UFO Network, in the studio, and we've got Steve on the phone line. That's your cue, Steve. Go ahead.
Jim, cue Steve up, will you?
Fire him up. Go ahead.
No, I actually turned it down.
Turn it back up.
Okay.
Remember, when you call the Chris and Late Night Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, turn your radio up louder. Not down like you do at that other station. Turn it up louder.
Okay.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear that.
Okay, good. All right, you're on the air, Steve. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, actually, my question is, what do you guys think about the strike? Since you did go to college and all, I'm sure you did.
You're talking about the UC teacher strike?
Yeah.
I think the students should all get together and form a big student union and sue the pants off those teachers for cheating them out of their money for the semester and the education and having to pay for housing. And even the ones that come from real far away and live off campus have to buy a lot of fast food and cheap beer and live off in apartments. Students should just sue the pants off their teachers. That's what I think. What do you think, Rob?
I think you're crazy.
Why am I crazy?
Don't they want an edge? What do they sue? They should I would try to drop out if I was a student. I'd try to get my money back
really?
And quit.
You think you'd rather transfer to a different school like NKU?
Well, no, I would just try to get out. I'd try to get my money back for this quarter or whatever.
Let's just say you got the perfect excuse to tell your parents that you want to travel for a semester. And I'm not kidding. If it was me, I'd be like, first thing I'd do Monday morning, no class. I'd be over at the student, wherever the students go to get their money back. I'd get my money back. I'd rent my apartment out to some loser. And then I'd go to California and say, Dad, there's no school this semester. I'm going to just take the semester off. I'll be back in the fall.
I question what kind of education you're getting if you're calling here for advice. I'll tell you that.
Hey, what's that?
I'd transfer to another school right away.
Right on.
No, actually, I mean, from what I understand, because, like, I called another talk show, right?
Which one?
I don't know. It was, like, I have this short bandwave radio or whatever, and uh-huh. I called this guy in St. Louis.
Right on. You know, they're really smart out there in St. Louis.
And he was like, I guess they pass out sheets and all that, and I was going over it, and I've looked into it a little bit, and, like, there's plenty of facts I could go over, but the administration's wasting money building buildings. It's like a construction site up there. And I told him a couple things, and he goes, what group are you in? I was like, no, I'm just a student. He goes, no, you are with a group. He's like, and you, how many people are in your group? What are you, I've just gave you 3.5 minutes of airtime, and I have a switch here. I could have cut you off.
Yeah, what group are you in?
Huh?
What group are you in?
I'm not. I'm just a student.
You've got to be in some kind of a group.
We've given you like 2.5 minutes of airtime now. How many people are in your group?
None, me.
Is this like a rock band, or is it like modern jazz, or what? What's up with your group?
No, I'm not just one person, but I'm kind of mad because...
Oh, you're doing a solo act then?
Huh, yeah.
Could you lay a few bars on us? Maybe sing us a verse or two?
No, I don't think I would.
Why? Shy?
Huh?
Shy? Don't you want to plug your gig? Don't you got a gig coming up you want to plug?
Nah, I'm not too talented. You
Hey, Steve, what inspired you to call this UFO talk show to talk about the teacher strike?
I don't know. Last time I talked to you guys was when they hit that cross down there. I don't know.
No.
I like more controversial subjects. Even though I do.
That's fine, but we're not letting you continue unless you sing us a song. Come on, it's in your bones, boy.
No.
Not good enough.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Later.
All right, take it easy.
Later.
749-1444 is the phone number here. Topic tonight is UFOs, or we'll talk about the teacher strike. We'll even talk about the Cincinnati Reds if you want.
But our expert is in the field of ufology.
Yeah, ask Pat, there's something I've been wanting to ask you. You think the Reds got a shot at it this year?
That I don't know.
Well, you've got to have an opinion one way or the other.
Yeah, I think they have a good chance, but, you know, it's... I really haven't paid much attention to baseball this year yet. You know, I don't really get into it until after...
Haven't you been watching spring training, seeing how the Reds are looking?
NCAA is over with before I even think about baseball.
I wonder if they time that on purpose.
Yeah.
Do you think they do that, like, they scheduling basketball's over, time for baseball?
No, I think there's got to be some evil, sinister force at work when the NCAA finals are opening day. That's just not right. We've got Doug. How you doing? You're on with Chris and Rob and Pat.
I'm doing okay.
On UFO Talk. What's up?
Nothing. I wanted to ask Pat, when was the earliest recorded abduction thing or whatever?
The earliest reported, well, probably... the one that people look to is something called the Villas Boas case, as close as I can get in pronunciation. Happened in the late 50s in Argentina or South American country. Pretty much discounted by everyone. And then you move up to
Wait a minute. What about Ezekiel and the two wheels are rolling?
I don't think Ezekiel got on a ship or anything.
But didn't one of those Egyptian guys that built the pyramids get on a ship?
Well, maybe you know about it.
Well, there's got to be some kind of old story.
You must
about
have got
that.
On with you, huh? Were you guys on there together? No, I don't know nothing about as far as Ezekiel and all that goes. A lot of people look back and say, okay, this describes a UFO or whatever. And a lot of people talk about mythology and a lot about, you know, everything from leprechauns to incubi and all these other things that conceivably could be. Sort of a screen memory for an abduction. But as far as we're concerned, It probably happened around 1958 and was followed up by the Hill case, Betty and Barney Hill, in the 60s, which was probably the most famous case.
Was up with those two cases? Did they have anything in common?
Well, they were abducted, but the...
Argentinian guy in the Hills.
Well, the Argentinian guy's case is a little bit different. The Hill case, let's go to that because it's a little more detailed. Basically, Betty and Barney Hill were driving home. They saw...
Hold on, Betty and Barney?
Betty and Barney, that's their names, yeah. Betty and Barney, just like on Flintstones.
I don't think that's quite true because Betty and Barney Hill were race mixers, but that's another subject.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, they aren't like the Flintstones.
Oh. Okay, well, whatever you say. In any case, they were driving home. And on the way home, they encountered a UFO, were taken aboard, had no conscious recollection or very little of the event. And by the way, most people, 30% of the people that have abduction recall it without the aid of hypnosis. In any case, they saw a fellow by the name of Dr. Simon, who then digressed them under hypnosis individually and taped the hypnotic sessions, gave them a hypnotic suggestion so they wouldn't remember what took place in those sessions. And after several months, he had a tape of each session, neither one knowing what was on the other one's tape, and he brought them both in, played the tape, and this classic UFO abduction scenario plays itself out. He did everything in his power, even under hypnosis, to get them to admit that it was not real, but they stuck to their guns and said it was real. And it's something we find now that's very common. If you ask someone that's had the experience how they rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most real, they'll say it's a 10. If they've had
are they
the
still
experience.
Alive, or are Betty and Barney still kicking around?
Barney Hill died some time ago. Betty Hill is still around. She's pretty much retired from the limelight and what have you. But she's around, and she's told her story through the years. A lot of what she says, we think maybe what's known as confabulation. It means under hypnosis that you tend to fill in spaces you're not sure about.
I say, oh my God, there's a spaceship every
time
they saw
it. Let me just make a correlation for you. Well, I think we're so doggone sophisticated nowadays. In England, about last Halloween, they did a ghost special. And we're picking up someone else, huh? The aliens. In any case, they did a special at Halloween about ghosts and a haunting of a house. They presented it, much like Orson Welles did on the radio, as something that was real and taking place. And the net result was they had a lot of panicked callers, people that thought they saw ghosts, probably people that were a little skitsy to begin with, and a certain level of panic was reached. So if you're asking me, yeah, I do think that had some bearing. And when that happened in 1938, you had people scared to death, shooting at stars and what have you. And it could be the reason why they continue to debunk things like the cattle mutilations, which is beyond any question a real phenomenon and a real mystery, because they don't want every farmer in the world out there shooting at every light in the sky.